This is No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry considering the impact of adultism, which is an adult bias against youth. No More Silence is the result of the RAM Empowerment Project and Fearless Writers, two local programs fostering youth-led activism and knowledge creation. Welcome to episode 9 of No More Silence, Trauma and Healing, Part 2. The questions posed to adult experts in this episode were designed by high school students as part of their work in two youth-led advocacy programs, Fearless Writers and RAM Empowerment Project. This episode also features poetry from several students at Rogers High School who are part of a student-led poetry group called Rhythm and Rhyme. Today, we will be talking with Michael Mims, who is a violence interrupter for Save Our Community. Michael is based at Jessup Wakeman Scott High School. Michael grew up in Toledo and is a graduate of Rogers High School. Michael generously dedicated his time to talking with students, parents, and teachers at Rogers High School about his understanding of trauma and healing based on his personal and professional experience. This dialogue between Michael and the Rogers High School community is included in this episode. My name is Heather Cleary, and I am a faculty member of the social work program at the University of Toledo. I'm one of the founding members of Fearless Writers and an adult member of RAM Empowerment Project.
My name is Imani Massengill. I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. This is for my poetry club called Rhythm and Rhyme, ran by Cheyenne Mitz. And my poem is called Gunshots and Guilt. Gunshots, stereotypes. You ever look at someone and instantly think dirty, broke, fatherless? Gunshots, the sound so common to them, the blood, the hate, the pop, the guilt, the loss, losing sleep, the sound, the scream, playing on repeat. Let me out, let me breathe, I'm sorry, he pleads. Pop, a moment you can't take back. You pulled that trigger, now you have to keep your guard up, now you have to be careful who you trust and pray you don't lack. Pop, feel the blood on your hands, now that you took the life of a growing man. Pop, sitting on your bed, the sound keeps playing in your head. Pop, you can't take it anymore. You thought about it once, twice, and opened that drawer. Gun to your head. Pop. Body laying on the floor. Done with the demons knocking at your door.
I'm Mike Mims. I'm a violence interrupter for the Save Our Community program through the city of Toledo. A little bit about myself. I grew up in the inner city of Toledo. I have three younger brothers. Single parent raised. I have lost my father at the age of 2. So that began my journey of my expertise in trauma, which is still going on as well. So I'm still trying to get over the trauma of losing my father as I'm raising my children as well. And that was basically the start of my journey of me becoming an expertise in trauma. Won't say I'm an expert yet, but I'm getting there. My trauma base have also pushed me into wanting to become a social worker. So I'm currently going to school for social work while also doing the job as a social worker as well.
What types of interpersonal trauma are you seeing that young people are experiencing, particularly in the work that you do?
So in the work that we do, we're gun violence focused. So it has been a lot of gun violence based trauma with the youth. And today, basically, you could say it probably number one cause of trauma that's going on, but I can't really speak on, you know, the exact number, but that's what we're noticing today. And that's why my job became a job as of today, because the city is starting to see all the gun drama that is going on. So they put us into these schools to try to get to the bottom of what's really going on, other than with people like the final project. So people see the guns, and we're trying to get to the point of what's making the youth dive in to using these guns and having these disputes against each other throughout the community.
What do you see trauma? What does it create in young people in terms of their health or mental health or the behaviors that you're seeing?
The trauma that we're seeing, it's been leading the youth to just dive into so many things at an early age. So the youth been using these drugs, which also just leads down to so many other causes. So the youth have been going into certain drugs to deal with certain trauma, but then those drugs are leading to another completely different type of trauma. And so they're chasing so many different things, trying to combat trauma, and it just may cause it more trauma instead of going to direct help and professionals who are in certain fields and all different kind of fields that can deal with all the different kind of trauma they're going to. The youth are kind of trying to just solve the problems themselves and not understanding that we all need help no matter what age you are, that we do need help, and drugs haven't been solving the problem. And it might have been like a temporary solution, but not really a real source of solving the problem. Mm-hmm.
What behaviors do you see being most misunderstood by teachers, by parents, that are the result of trauma?
I believe the bad behavior, in quotations, the bad behavior is being misunderstood. A lot of these kids are coming to school and getting this target as being a bad kid. And I believe that some of the adults need to kind of see and understand the habits that their kids are doing and not that they're necessarily bad, what's causing them to act like this. Because a lot of kids don't know that they're trying to even be bad. They don't really know what's going on with them at all. They just have this feeling, and then it just kind of makes them act in a bad behavior. So I do believe that the bad behavior is being misunderstood, which myself was also that kid as well. Even since kindergarten, I would have this label as being bad, but they're not understanding. I lost my father before kindergarten even started. So even if I'm in school and I'm seeing people, parent-teacher conferences, and they're having their mother and their father, that's also another trauma from me, just not even having and understand as a kid, why don't I have my father? Yeah. So just the bad behavior to me is really misunderstood.
Yeah, okay. What are some of the unique challenges you're seeing young people coping with?
So I guess since this is a new type of generation, you have the social media, which is the biggest challenge. So people, these youth are coming to school and feeling like they need to have it all. They're seeing on social media that their favorite people might be the happiest people, the richest people in the world, and not understanding that a lot of people are going through the same thing that they are going through. But as far as when you get on social media, all you see is happy, but then you see your own life through and throughout, and you're seeing you're not happy. So you're telling yourself even more that you're not good or you're not happy because you're just seeing false happiness or temporarily happiness and not what other people has been going through as well. So they're thinking people cannot relate to them because they're not seeing themselves and other people, but not knowing that a lot of people can't relate to the situation. Just what you see on social media is half of what you really know. So.
Yeah. What can peers and adults do to help young people that are healing from trauma?
I believe the youth can just find someone that you trust, or find someone that you trust that can also find someone that can provide a service for you. And as far as the adults, we need to just nonstop training, nonstop learning how to deal with the things that the youth are going through. Try to become expertise in something, no matter if we get to an expertise level, but just the fact that we're trying and never stop trying and never stop learning, taking on new trainings and just adopting, because the world is going to change, just keep changing. So it's nonstop changing. And if we just keep learning and going through these trainings and, you know, and putting it out to the youth, I feel like it should start becoming a solution to some problems.
So what can schools and communities do to create a trauma-sensitive culture
we adults need to know how to listen. I talk to kids all day through my office, and that's why they like to talk to me, because I'm trying to tell them I'm only 27, so I'm not of a different generation age. Like, I know how to listen, and I try to talk to them, and they really appreciate that I know how to just listen. Some kids just want to talk, and you just have to listen more. We adults try to give advice based on what we went through and what we know, not knowing that this is a different world and things are changing. So we'll start to learn how to create solutions for the youth by just listening to seeing what new things that they are going through. And I feel like that's the biggest part of it.
In what ways do you see Toledo as resilient? Like, or do you have a story to share of how you see Toledo as resilient?
I think I have a different type of answer to that question, because it's so many different levels of trauma. I don't want to speak far as being resilient, because maybe I'm from Toledo, so I count as a Toledo citizen. So maybe I have gotten through some trauma, but the other person may not have. So I'm not sure how we can be considered resilient, but we can think of solutions to make us all as a whole become resilient. Because I might be resilient, even myself, I'm resilient in some traumas that I have already faced and got over, but there's also some traumas that I have not.
Yeah, so that word's complicated.
It was a good question. It was, because we do have certain histories. If we even want to speak on the big riot we had, and as a community, we got over it and rebuilt things, and new establishments came up out of it. So you can kind of use that as a resilience, but I know we're still going through, and it's just adapt. We basically got to keep adapting and keep adapting to new things. There's always a new trauma that's coming, and we just got to keep learning and adapting. And I have 2 6-year-olds, twins. I have a stepdaughter, so we just call them twins. But that's just exactly how I parent. So me and my son and my daughter, we have pinky promises. We say like a handshake is best friends forever. But when you lead by example, they're born to already know that you're the parent, you know? And as I'm leading by example and setting those standards and setting those boundaries to where my kids know it's no disrespect, like I'm your friend, but you can come to me as a friend. That's the same thing I said with dealing with the youth. We can set a certain standard and don't always have to be this disciplinarian person. But set those standards, let them be comfortable, let them speak, such as are their friends and an older friend. And once they understand those boundaries, and they understand and have the respect of knowing that you are the adult. But the older generations start to realize, used to always want those boundaries set, and I'm not your friend. And that's why those different traumas start to create, because now these kids feel like they don't know who else to go to and talk to. So if you're 14, like you said, if you're 14, ask another 14-year-old something, you're going to get a 14-year-old answer. But if you're comfortable enough to ask an adult, you're going to get an adult that went through the experience already and can give you a better answer. So that's been the goal as a parent, me being a parent to my kids, was always to know that we are best friends. I'm your first friend. I want to be your main friend. But I'm also leading by example to know that you are also my son and I am the parent. So,
my name is Trinity Gill. I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. This is my piece, Crash and Burn. Crash and Burn, briefly described, is a point in time where you may feel as if your world is falling apart. Your mind feels scattered, like a million thoughts are being thrown at you at once. What do I do with these thoughts? I ask myself. You burn them away. These thoughts will disappear from my mind one by one as I tell them to leave, leaving me with the realization of control in my own mind. Crash and burn. What may the crash be? Feelings of confusion and clutter? The loss of your focus may cause you to come to the question, where did this chaos occur? Crash and burn. You crash and you burn, but you still continue to grow and learn.
Peyton Robinson, and I'm a student at Rogers High School.
Well, it's like more like a statement or a question. For like you said, you do
behavior, and you study behavior. I was wondering, do you like most kids like at home, if they're like dealing with stuff or they don't get enough attention, isn't that like what they, don't they like act out more if they don't get more, if they don't get attention from home or stuff is going on, don't they like more willing to act out more in public because they don't have that attention like they do at home? They're trying to seek it in some other sorts of areas.
So yeah, for the most part, like you said, it's for the most part that is how it goes. But since there's no like dedicated way to that, we can say it's always hard to know. Sometimes there can be acting out in public because they get all the attention at home, like a single child syndrome. Sometimes you get all the attention at home, and then you expect all the attention in public. So you never really know until you get to ask the youth the questions and dive in deeply into the questions, like she said, not just the basic questions, how you doing, but really asking, and then you'll start to figure out what's the root problem. But since we really don't know, you have to find out.
Okay, so Mike, I'm Rose Metz, and I'm the parent of Cheyenne Metz, a student here at Rogers High School. I am a retired physical therapist assistant, and there was a period here in Toledo where, when I worked at a hospital here in Toledo, where there was an influx of GSW victims, young men. And I just wondered if it's just this hospital, how many other hospitals in the surrounding communities may be experiencing the same influx. And it also made me wonder, okay, I'm seeing too much of this. What, if anything, is the communities doing about it? Most times it was young African-American men that end up in wheelchairs, and I had to teach them how to, well, not ever walk again, but to do transfers and the such and take care of themselves for their lifelong sentence. And so I guess my question is, do you know if today there are any communities perhaps with these young men forming groups to have students come to groups and so that they can see the outcome of the gun violence, somewhat like a Scared Straight program or something like that? Do we have anything like that?
That was a great question too. I'm not familiar with a lot of groups, but I know far as what I've seen, I have a few male friends that are part of groups. I have a coworker, she runs a program called Man Day and Women's Day. The Women's Day is ran by women and strictly for women and young women to come to. And the Men Day is obviously ran by men for young men to come through. And it's kind of like a group, like a therapy group. They go over everything as far as whatever you're dealing with. So that's actually a very helpful group. It's like every other Monday for each one. And even far as for my job, we build these reports with the youth through the high school, and we have our dedicated groups throughout the school as well. So and like I said, we have a street team base, and they run certain groups outside on the streets, and we deal with the youth during school. So because even before our job, there have also been programs such as TACO and everything such as that as well, which has been great. But it used to be the youth in school would be forgotten because school was kind of like a, not daycare, but a place where you're thinking the youth is okay because they're in school. But now we're implemented into the school as well. So I run like a casual group throughout the day within the school as well. So it has been a few groups throughout the city. I know it's even more that I haven't named, which I apologize if I didn't know the names of them, but they're becoming more and more groups, even official and unofficial, and groups that's on the rise or trying to become on the rise that's not, maybe not publicized enough, but there are groups that have been forming. Last year we had a youth summit as well at the LMHA building downtown for youth to come voice what they see in the neighborhood, far as not us guessing what they might need and what we see, but they also came down and spoke in what they actually see and what they may need and what solutions can come and solve certain problems that they have. So we gave them a voice to be able to come down as well. So
yeah.
And we're gonna run another youth summit, I believe, this year
soon.
I'm Cindy Hunt, and I go to Rogers. So, I've lost my mother at a very young age, the age of 7, nearly 8 years old. I grew up with an alcoholic father who was very abusive, physically, mentally, everything you can name, pretty much. He did, except for, like, you know, but he did threaten that. Yeah, my trauma runs deep within me, and, like, I try to keep myself distant from drama, the fighting at school, the things that overwhelm me. Like, I have sound sensitivity because my dad yells at me. The only thing that I can keep loud is my music, and it's my music that I'm comfortable with. And for me, I cope with my friends, hanging out with the people I love and enjoy being around. I color, I read, I write. I don't talk to people about my mental health very often because I don't know how to let them in. I'm scared of being abandoned. I'm afraid of people saying no. I have certain people I go to and trust. I can't tell you one day that I just haven't done that. I can say that I don't want to talk about it right now. That's because I don't know how to put it into words. I love talking to people, but I feel like I'm overwhelming them with everything. So I'm like, I'm going to distance myself and pull away. And then my abandonment issues kick in, so then it's a whole mess. I'm afraid to be abandoned. I'm afraid of losing the people I care about. So that's why I can be a teeny bit mean, but because I care and tell them no about certain things. Like if I see my friend randomly take a knife out of their pocket, I'm going to grab the knife and throw it away from them. Because I'm like, you're not allowed to hurt yourself like that, no. And if you call me up and say, hey, I'm thinking about offing myself, I'm like, I will sit here on the phone with you. I'll give you the suicide hotline number. I saved it to my phone for reasons. I was in a traumatic experience all my life up until about 17. I moved in with my sister in my sophomore year of high school. I am so much happier now, but my senior years of high school has been stressful. I do love school, and I'm just stressed out about graduating. And I'm gonna tell you what, you will have a support system here at Rogers. Everyone here is really great. They're friendly, they're fun to be around. And yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've came to my teachers and said, hey, this is what's going on. I can't focus. They understand. They'll give you breaks. I am on an IEP, and they will help you with everything. If you're dyslexic, they'll help you read. If you can't read a word, they'll help you with that. Their help doesn't matter if you need help in class, or it's your mental health, or other problems, they will help you. That's what I've learned about my trauma, and the things that I've learned from just saying, hey, I need advice.
You have did the number one important thing. A lot of people cannot even recognize, hey, I'm going through trauma. Hey, I need help in X, Y, and Z. So you already covered the base right then and there. You recognize the problem and understand that you need help. And to piggyback off what you said as well, you're not weird. It's very normal. Everybody is scared to lose people they care about. Nobody want to be abandoned as well. So we all fear of abandonment. We all fear of losing someone we love. So I want you to know that you're very normal in that aspect as well. And you did a job that a lot of people can't even do by recognizing their trauma and where it's coming from. So that's like number one thing. So pat yourself on the back for that as well. Yeah. And another thing that you said that I recognize that you do, even though you're going through what you're going through, you already voiced that if somebody else was going through the same problem, you're helping. Mm-hmm. People make careers out of that. You know what I mean? You would become one of the best social workers or one of the best, you know, people to work with those type of people because you're going through the experience at a young age. So by the time you even get in your adult years, you would be experienced in a very, I can't even think of the word, but you're doing very well already. So by the time you become an adult, you're going to be doing very well and you're going to be able to help the next you. And I want you to recognize that, like, that's a skill. It's a skill through a curse that you think is a curse that's not really. But that's how you become and you're getting a whole skill that you're not even recognized. Yeah. You're going through on job training. Far as I have to go to school to maybe even think how you think. But you're already going through on job training. So by the time you become grown, you're going to be able to help the next you.
Hello, my name is Napai Holloway. I'm 18 years old and I go to Rogers High School. My poem title is Gunshots. Gunshot, trigger. I seen that trigger something deep inside. The trauma, the cries, remembering the ride. I seen the discomfort in your eyes. I know that feeling, the feeling of being stuck. Gunshot, trigger. Seeking the thoughts and not making a move, not knowing what to do. It's funny that everybody comes to you with problems, but you're still confused. Gunshot, trigger. Now you're leaking. Leaking the emotions you couldn't express. Now you're holding it in, keeping it compressed.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to Michael Mims, Wendy Eastler, Deshaun Head, Daphne Herford, Celia Williamson, and Tina DeBoard for their support of this event. Please join us for episode 10, Conversations with Social Media Influence, featuring Bryson Davis, a violence interrupter for Save Our Community, Matt Foss from the University of Toledo, and Logan Taylor Thompson from the Fair Housing Center, who will share the importance of narrative to better understanding youth and neighborhoods in Toledo.
I am Heather Cleary, and you have been listening to No More Silence. Feel free to comment and follow us at wgte.org/nomoresilence.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.